cannot do anything that is good without your help, and by you we live according to your will. We pray this through Jesus Christ, thy Son, our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. Amen. This morning's confessional reading of the Altar of Confession, which was submitted by His Majesty Charles V at the Imperial Meeting at Altar. The chief article of the faith is Article 23 for the marriage of the priest. But as no law of man can annul the commandment of God, so neither can it be done by any vow. Accordingly, Cyprian also advises that women who do not keep the chastity they have promised should marry. His words are these from the book of the Epistle number 11. But if they be willing or unable to persevere, it is better for them to marry than to fall into the fire of lust. They should certainly give no offense to their brethren and sisters. And even the canons show some leniency toward those who have taken vows before the proper age, as heretofore has generally been the cause. So far the confessional reading. This morning's Old Testament, Jeremiah chapter 15. Therefore, thus saith the Lord, if thou return, then will I bring thee again, and thou shalt stand before me. And if thou take forth the precious form, or present from the vial, thou shalt be as my mouth. Let them return unto thee, but return not unto them. And I will make thee unto this people a fenced brazen wall, and they shall fight against thee, but they shall not prevail against thee. For I am with thee to save thee and to deliver thee, saith the Lord. And I will deliver thee out of the hand of the wicked, and I will redeem thee out of the hands of the terrible. So far the Old Testament reading. This morning's Epistle, Romans chapter 8. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if we live after the flesh, we shall die. But if they through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, then we shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are sons of God. For they have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the Spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself bears witness to our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs are heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. So far the epistle lesson.
Father, which is in heaven.
And many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. So far the Holy Gospel.
Unity of person. For as the reasonable soul and flesh is one.
continue with our sermon, in 4:28, please.
The authority from God's word.
It may not be popular to label a doctrine false or to call to any of the question activities that are now in according to the, that are not in accord with the Holy Scriptures. But Christ does it, and Jesus is very serious about it. Jesus Christ is not only our Lord and our Savior, but He is also our infallible teacher and guide. He speaks with divine authority. Remember, it is Christ Himself who uses the term false prophets, false teachers, false leaders, whose words and actions are not in harmony with the doctrines of Holy Scripture, are not in agreement with Christ's inspired word. No matter what one's position is, or power, or title may be, if they are not in agreement with God's word, their position, their power, their title is to be regarded as a sham, and themselves to be considered false prophets. Jesus uses a common everyday example. He says, do people gather grapes from a thorn bush or pick figs from a thistle patch? Absolutely not. Thorn bushes and thistle patches do not produce grapes and figs. The same thing is true with respect to the spiritual food. Spiritual food cannot be found among those who teach and stand on man's rules, popular ideas, that oppose the true teachings of the Holy Scriptures. Jesus tells us, wherefore, by their fruits you shall know them. We must examine the teachings and the practices, and by practice I mean, are they doing what is in favor with God's word, not just their own teachings, but also their actions themselves. Are their teachings and their actions according to Christ's word and Holy Scripture, God's inspired, infallible, eternal word? When a religious leader teaches a pastor to add to or subtract from the Word of God or offer their own ideas, they find security in man-made doctrines instead of God's doctrines, and they must be labeled false prophets. As St. Paul confirms, they teach things they ought not. The sworn duty of every religious leader is to deliver the truth of God's word. They endanger and destroy their eternal welfare by leading people into the damning fires of hell itself. Jesus explicitly warned, beware. Their teachings will lead people to believe what God does not teach. And when we study the history of churches which have tolerated one false doctrine, we will discover that one false doctrine soon led to many, many other false doctrines. Sad to say, this is not always what it should be. There are those who echo Satan's voice when he spoke to Adam and Eve, did God really say? False prophets, leaders, teachers, pastors may appear to be harmless, but Jesus says they come to you in sheep's clothing. But the warning is this, inwardly, they are ravening wolves. I'd like to take you just a moment here, too, and thank Phyllis Peterson for this artwork, if you will, on the front of her bulletin. I think it's great. It shows a sheep, but actually under the sheep's clothing is a wolf. Where did you find that?
Just on the internet.
Okay.
I did draw it.
Well, that's sacred. Anyway, it's very nice, very nice. Well, once again, ravening wolves. And this is mighty strong language, but remember who it is that is using it is Jesus Christ himself, the Son of God, God in human flesh. And what wolves do to sheep when they attack is what false teachers do to people spiritually with their false teachings. They endanger and destroy the eternal welfare, leading people directly into the damning fires of hell. And Jesus explicitly warns, beware. Their teaching will lead people to believe what God does not teach. And when we study the history of churches which have tolerated one false doctrine, we will discover that one false doctrine soon led to many others. So let us despise false doctrine and condemn false practices. And let us champion the truth of God's word and insist that the word be taught in its truth and purity, that the holy sacraments be administered according to Christ's institution, and that proper and correct practices be exercised at all times. May we begin by repenting of our own sins, trusting in Jesus Christ as our one and only Redeemer, be bold in our confession of faith, faithful in worship and communion, and in the study of God's Word and our Lutheran confessions. Now, in your bulletin, you'll find a preface concerning the Book of Concord. If you want to follow along as I read, do so. It's written in 1912, before many of us were even born. The Lutheran Church differs from all other churches in being essentially the Church of the pure word and unadulterated sacraments. Not the great number of our adherents, not her organization, not her charitable and other institutions, not her beautiful customs and liturgy forms, but the precious truths confessed by her symbols in perfect agreement with Holy Scripture, constitute the true beauty and the rich treasures of our church, as well as the never-fading source of her own vitality and power. Wherever the Lutheran Church ignored her symbols or rejected all or some of them, there she always fell an easy prey to her enemies. But wherever she held fast to her God-given crown, esteemed and studied her confessions, and actually made them a norm and standard of her entire life and practice, there the Lutheran Church flourished and confounded all of her enemies. Accordingly, if Lutherans truly love their church and desire and seek after her welfare, they must be faithful to her confessions and constantly be on their guard, lest anyone rob her of her treasures. May God be pleased, as in the past, so also in the future, to bless our church and graciously keep her in the true and only saving Christian faith as set forth and confessed in the Lutheran symbols, whose paramount object is to maintain the gem of Luther's Reformation and bless doctrine of salvation by grace only, which most wonderfully magnify the great glory of our God, and alone is able to impart solid comfort to poor sinners. This is from the preface of the Book of Concord. May Almighty God teach us to do His will here on earth and to bring us into the eternal kingdom of heaven. Amen.
Amen.
Now may the peace of God that surpasses all human understanding abide with us here this morning and extend itself into the joys of eternal life heaven. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you. behalf of Chuck Dermaz.
What's his first name?
Charles.
Not Chuck, is it?
Is it Charles?
Huh?
Maybe Charles.
Charles.
Charles? I like Chuck better. Anyway, he's having a triple bypass. Sometime next week, that's all we know right now. So let's keep Chuck and Diane's wife in our prayers, because this is a very serious operation. And as we know, it can go in any direction. We pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you on behalf of Chuck, who is undergoing triple bypass surgery sometime next week. We pray that you strengthen his faith in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Comfort Diana, who will have to go through this as well as he. But above everything else, give them the assurance that they both are redeemed by the blood of Christ, and that there's nothing to worry about as far as the future, because the future is great because of the faith in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We thank you for the doctors that you have given us to take care of our physical needs, but especially we thank you for having sent Christ, our Lord and Savior, to completely forgive our sins and guarantee us the eternal life in heaven. So we turn Chubb and Diane over to your care, Father. We know that they are in good hands, and nothing shall ever sway them from your love and concern. We approach your throne of grace in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
And let us pray for our communicants. Lord Jesus Christ, who callest unto thee all that labor and are heavy laden to refresh them and give rest unto the souls, we pray. Let us experience your love of the heavenly feast that you have prepared for us here on earth. Take off from us the spotted garment of our sinful flesh, our own self-righteousness, and give us the garment that has been purchased with your holy precious blood. Strengthen our faith and increase our love and hope, and after this life, grant us all a place at your heavenly table, where we shall eat of the eternal manna and drink of the river of thy pleasure forevermore. Hear us for thine own sake. Amen.
Amen.
We continue with hymn 307. Please be seated.
Oh.
and in the confession of the only true God, we worship the Trinity in person and the unity and substance of majesty co-equal. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we all did magnify thy glorious name, evermore praising thee and saying, same manner also I took the cup, and when he had supped, and when he had given thanks, he gave it the same. Drink ye all of it. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This too is also to drink it in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always. Amen.
Thank you. Savior Jesus Christ. Through your death, through the grace of God, we receive. Take a drink. This is the drink. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Set truth. Our wish and wishes. Take a drink. This is the drink. Take a drink. This is the true blood. Our Lord and Savior Jesus. This is the true blood. Take a drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
The Lord bless you, keep you, and stay in your grace of protection. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. The Lord bless you, keep you, and his grace of protection. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Now may this body of blood strengthen and preserve you, keep you in the one true faith and the life everlasting. Amen. Depart in the Lord's peace. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Taking you to this is the true body. Thank you.
depart in the Lord's peace. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
you and your grace and protection. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. The Lord bless you and keep you in his grace and protection. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. Now may this body of Christ strengthen, preserve you, keep you in the one true faith and the life everlasting. Amen. Depart in the Lord's peace. Amen.
World without end. Amen.
The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and grant you his peace. Amen.
Amen.